There's a story of a little boy who went to the Catholic Church for the first time with his father, and the priest was going on rather long with the homily, and the boy was getting tired, so he looked up in the sanctuary and he saw a red sanctuary lamp, and he looked at his dad and he said, "Dad, when the light turns green, can we go?" Well, I hope I won't keep you too long today, but we do want to give the Lord his due, right? We want to give the Lord what he deserves. And lately, I have been reading a book about the Council of Trent. It took place in the 1500s, and it was part of the Catholic Counter-Reformation in response to Martin Luther. How many of you have heard of the name Martin Luther? All right, now everybody's heard Martin Luther King Jr., right? All right, he lived in the 1900s. But this is Martin Luther, that Martin Luther King was named after, but Martin Luther, who lived in the 1500s. And there were problems that were going on in the church. The clergy and the Pope, even the bishops and the clergy, the priests, they needed to be reformed, all right, because they were doing bad things. They didn't have their hearts into this worship of God as Jesus was talking about. They were only paying lip service, many of them, maybe, who knows, a majority or what. So there were big problems that needed to be reformed. But Martin Luther made the mistake of also changing the teaching of Jesus himself, which we certainly are not free to do. He came up with some of his own personal interpretations, which were contrary to what the church had taught from the very beginning. So, you know, the adage, don't throw out the baby with the bathwater, right? So, yes, clean the baby, but don't throw the baby out himself, you know, throw out the dirty water. And that's what really needed to be done. But thank goodness the clergy finally got the message, and they did start that reformation of the clergy that needed to take place. Now, Martin Luther started his reformation, we can say, in the year 1517. So in 2 years from now, we're celebrating the 500th anniversary of that the Reformation of Martin Luther, all right? So it has affected us here today, because if Martin Luther hadn't started his Reformation, we would all be just Catholics in Villeblad. There would be no other denomination. There wouldn't be that church across the street. There wouldn't be anyone's in the neighborhood as well. We would still be all one. And of course, Jesus prayed, right, at the Last Supper, "Father, may they be one as you and I are one. May they remain as one." So it's because of our sins that we are all divided. And so ecumenism is a word that talks about trying to overcome those divisions. And when I was in Scott, and also in Eunice, we had ministerial alliances, and the pastors would get together and talk, and we certainly have so much that we do share in common, right? At worshiping the Lord and the Trinity and the Bible and so forth. Just some of the interpretations that we do differ on. And one of those is about religion. Did you hear in our second reading today the letter of James, where it said, "Religion that is pure and holy before God the Father is to take care of the widows and the orphans and to stay unstained by the world." All right? So maybe you've heard, like I've heard many times, people saying nowadays, religion is bad. Religion is man-made. Well, some religions are man-made, but some are not. The Old Testament faith of the Jewish people was given to them by God. He's the one that came and established them, gave them the Ten Commandments, made all of these covenants with the Israelites. God established that when he started with Abraham, right? The patriarch Abraham calling him and showing him that he was the one true God, not a multiplicity of gods to believe in. So there is religion that is pure and that is good. And, of course, we know that Jesus Christ established our church on the rock of St. Peter's faith, all right? So that's why we're still here 2,000 years later. The fact of our sinfulness shows that the Holy Spirit is with us. Otherwise, we would have fallen apart a long time ago if this was merely a human institution, right? But God has given us the grace of the Holy Spirit, And that is what has kept us going all these years, despite our divisions, despite our sins. And another thing in the gospel today, Jesus talked about human traditions that were bad. So does that mean that all human traditions are bad? Not at all. It's only human traditions that are contrary to God. We celebrate Thanksgiving, right, in our country. And that's a human tradition. It's fine. It's not contrary to anything about God himself. So we can continue to do that. But if there's a human tradition that would go against the will of God, then definitely that is a bad kind of tradition. So there's good and there's bad traditions. Even the Bible says so, right? Paul's letter to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2. I praise you because you remember me in everything and hold fast to the traditions just as I handed them on to you. So St. Paul is talking about traditions that Jesus gave to him and that he passed on to the community, as well as the second letter of Paul to the Thessalonians. Therefore, brothers, stand firm and hold fast to the traditions that you were taught, either by an oral statement or by a letter of ours. So here he's talking about the written word of God, a letter, which some of his letters are in the New Testament, right? And some is still oral that has been passed down to us. The living church, this is the oral tradition that has come down to us, how we worship and praise God. Yes, some little minor things can change, but the major thing of using bread and wine for the consecration does not change. That has been constant since the time of Jesus, our Lord, St. Peter, the other apostles, and all the way down to us today in the year 2015. And we're going to still be doing this until the end of the world, because that's the promise that Jesus gave to us, that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church, because he has established it, he has given it to us. So what is the way in which we can come back together and overcome the divisions that we do have among us Christians throughout the world? And ecumenism is certainly the route that we need to take, dialogue and looking at all the things that we do have in common, right? In worshiping and praising our Lord and charity towards our neighbor. And Jesus gives us a beautiful examination of conscience, right? So he says it's not something from outside that can make you sinful, although we do have to be prudent, right, in the TV shows that we watch, the movies that we watch, the music that we listen to. We want to only have good things coming into us to inspire us. But he said, it's not really the things from the outside, it's what comes from within our hearts that does make us sinful, all right? So he talks about evil thoughts. Now, a thought can pop into your mind that can be evil, but it's what you do with it in the next moments is whether it's sinful or you have conquered it, all right? So that's a temptation. Bad thought pops into your mind, happens to all of us. Let it go. Let it pass on by. It's like a river passing in front of your eyes, and you're standing on the bank of the river, right? Something bad passes by, let it go on through, and it won't harm you. You'll actually grow in grace by defeating that temptation. Good thought passes by, jump in there, swim in it, enjoy it, and praise the Lord for it, right? So that's how we deal with that. But then he talks about unchastity, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, licentiousness, envy, blasphemy, arrogance, folly, all these things that can come up if we don't get rid of them, then it does make us sinful. And then we do need to go to confession, right, and confess our sins before the Lord. Just like St. Peter had to confess his sins against Jesus, right? How many times did Jesus deny our Lord? Three times, right? And three times Jesus made him say at the shore, at the Lake of Galilee, do you love me, Peter? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. Do you love me, Peter? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Do you love me, Peter? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Why do you doubt? And so Peter had to go to confession for the times that he sinned against the Lord. We do too. We repent. Repentance is the way that can bring us together and overcome the divisions that are between us Christians. And Pope Francis is certainly making great strides in that area as well. So as 2017 approaches very quickly, let us pray, let us work with our brothers and sisters separated from us, that we can be one around the table of the Lord. Amen.